progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. The president's progress report on the war in Iraq, CBS's Peter Mayer at the White House.
The benchmark report shows the Iraqi government is still struggling, showing mixed progress on political, economic, and security reforms. The president tried to preempt congressional critics who would seize on shortcomings in the report.
I don't think Congress ought to be running the war. I think they ought to be funding our troops.
The report describes ongoing security challenges and an uneven Iraqi economy.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Democratic leaders in Congress say the report shows the surge in Iraq simply isn't working. And Illinois Senator Dick Durbin rejects President Bush's call to be patient and wait.
Every day that we wait, every week that goes by, another month means more American soldiers who will be killed and injured in this war that has gone downhill for so long.
Both the House and Senate are debating Iraq policy, with a vote expected in the House to call for troop withdrawal within 9 months.
Terror analysts are saying al-Qaeda is as strong as it was before 9/11, 6 years ago. And while the president disputes that today, terror expert Neil Livingston does not.
It should come as no surprise that al-Qaeda is growing in strength. Ever since the U.S. invasion of Iraq, we've drawn off men and materiel from the Afghan conflict. We're not doing the things there that we should.
CBS News correspondent at the Pentagon, David Martin.
Although bin Laden still remains a ghost, his number two, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is showing up more and more on the Internet. And according to U.S. intelligence, they are improving their communications and their fundraising and their training.
Associated Press reporting that intelligence estimates al-Qaeda is stepping up efforts to sneak into terror operatives into the U.S. and rebuild most of its capabilities it needs to strike here. What goes down must come up. Today it really did on Wall Street, the Dow gaining 283 points to finish well into record territory. What a great day. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Certainly for folks who have their money tied up in mutual funds or 401k plans, this was a terrific day on Wall Street. They were able to enjoy this rally. And the good news is that when we do fall back, which we inevitably will, if you're in this market for the long haul, you're going to be buying up more stocks at a cheaper price.
From the Wall Street bulls to the real ones in Pamplona. Most dangerous bull run yet in this year's festival. Bulls goring 7, seriously injuring several others, 13 sent to the hospital. Do you remember your first time?
My first time is a play that encourages people to talk about it. Because as much as we all have it in common, we don't tend to talk about it as much. And for most people, it wasn't the most perfect of experiences.
Ken Davenport, creator of My First Time, New York off-Broadway play, making news by giving away free tickets to anyone who can successfully demonstrate their virginity. That's a whole other story. Again, the Dow gaining 283 today, finishing at 13,681. The S&P also with a new record high. This is CBS News.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
A federal grand jury delivering 33 indictments charging former Newark Mayor Sharp James with corruption, accusing him of fraud, using city credit cards to spend extravagantly on himself and several women. The indictments come 40 years to the day of the infamous Newark riots. CBS's Frank Setapani reports.
The trouble erupted over rumors that police had killed a black cab driver. The rumors were false, but that seemed to make no difference. The riots ended with 26 lives lost and a city in smoldering ruins.
Come 11 o'clock, regardless of where you were in Newark, firing broke out.
Paul Zygo was a young National Guard lieutenant assigned to keep people out of the riot zone. Decades later, Zygo sees a city that still has not recovered.
The scars are still there, but a lot of new construction. A lot of people on the streets. moving about, going about their business.
Scholars say the seeds for Newark's destruction were planted decades before the riots by corruption, racism, neglect, and misguided public policy decisions.
I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
There are two essentials for any summer getaway: a good sunscreen and a good set of tires. So visit your Goodyear retailer now and get up to a $50 cash card by mail-in offer with the purchase of a set of four select Goodyear tires. Or double your cash card up to $100 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 6/24 through 7/21/07. Go to GoodyearTires.com or see your participating Goodyear retailer for your mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchase is subject to credit approval.
Carl, don't panic, but there's a blue thing around your head. It appears to contain a hotel and some sort of savings message.
Oh, yeah. I just booked a last-minute summer vacation on Orbitz. Saved 30% on my hotel. Got a great room, too.
Oh, yeah. That's what I figured. Can I touch it?
No.
Please.
No.
Book your last-minute vacation to select summer destinations and save up to 30% on your hotel. Book at Orbitz.com and stay a step ahead.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ooh, Lord, I'm lazy. I can't get ahead, no way I try.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
I'm glad you're listening. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We got 3 hours and about 19 hours of material to talk about.
Listen.
We'll jam it in the best we can.
I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody. Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left. Ain't that a bitch?
Yes, it is.
Somebody doing something sick.
Yeah, they are.
Got me wondering which is which. Might as well go up down the aisle. Dig a ditch. Ain't that a bitch?
All kinds of things going on in our world, and this is the show that we try to bring you details, information, and people who actually know more than the host, and we succeed in many, many cases. On today's program, Yifat Suskind is a woman involved in the battle for human rights on many fronts around the world. She's with the organization called Madre. We're going to talk about the refugee crisis in Iraq. We'll probably get an update on Darfur as well. That's coming up in about half an hour. Next hour, our weekly report on military and veterans issues. Scott Dick will join us. As you know, he retired from the Army as a major, and he helps me understand the acronyms and the ways of thinking inside the Pentagon and military units. And he'll be with us. There's a lot to talk about, including the president's report this morning, kind of spinning the glass half full regarding Congress's demand for an update on progress in Iraq. Also, the Senate defeated a bill, an amendment by Senator Jim Webb of Virginia that would have required the troops to get as much time off as they spend in the field. So if they're deployed for 15 months, they get 15 months rest. And also, the Republicans are holding the line, preventing the Democrats from giving our troops a bigger raise than the 3% that has been budgeted so far. The generous tax-and-spend liberal Democrats want to make it 3.5%. It's about $15 a week for the average grunt. Also on today's program, Kamran Ali. Kamran Asdar Ali, an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Texas, an expert on Pakistan, will join us. As you know, there was a huge scene at the Red Mosque, and over 100 people died, and it does seem that it's a real test of the strength of the government of President Pervez Musharraf. So we'll talk about that as we kick off the third and final hour of our program today. There may be a Tommy Panic report. We never know until Tommy checks in. And right now, Brian, our able assistant producer, is here dialing feverishly to try to track down Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, who normally joins us at this time. And until we locate Faz, I'll just run down for you some of the key stories in the Progress Report today. Their cover story, their main focus, is on the continuing debate in the United States Senate. And it is interesting because I keep a little scorecard here, right by my microphone, of the Republicans who are shifting their stance. Now, they're not all moving into the Democratic camp, and they're not all ready to vote for hard timelines and legislation that has real teeth in it. But there have been significant defections, and the Democrats sense this, and they are trying to cause Republicans to join them in putting restrictions on the conduct of the occupation of in Iraq and a timeline for bringing home most of our troops by attaching it to the upcoming defense appropriations bill. And, of course, while we focus on the various efforts, legislative efforts, to end our occupation in Iraq, a lot of people are overlooking the incredible amount of money that Democrats and Republicans alike are prepared to approve in next year's defense budget. $650 billion. And I'm such an old fart that I can remember back in the early 90s, after the Soviet Union broke up, that we were promised a peace dividend and that defense spending would go down. It's never really happened. And now it's almost at twice the level it was in the early 1990s. So the debate in the Senate is getting more heated, and I see Democrats getting a little bit more forceful. But Harry Reid was quoted as saying that the Republican senators who have some interesting legislation really appear to be looking at PR offensives and not a change in military strategy. And he said that the proposal by Lamar Alexander is very weak legislation, and it's so weak that it has less teeth than a toothless tiger, says Harry Reid. And Ken Salazar is a Democrat, and Lamar Alexander is a Republican, and they have introduced this very weak bill that would make the Iraq Study Group's proposals the policy of the United States, setting a goal of removing most U.S. troops by March 2008. But Salazar's amendment doesn't set a firm date for withdrawal, and drawing some bipartisan support, the amendment is largely supported by defectors who are more sympathetic to Bush's failed escalation plan. Co-sponsor Senator Bob Bennett of Utah said, "The full complement of troops only arrived 2 weeks ago. The surge can be within this late larger strategy of the Iraq Study Group." And so it is a little confusing and conflicting, the kind of debate that is coming from the Republican side. But I think, by and large, we're seeing movement, and that, I think, is hopeful. Now, the Iraq Study Group has recommended that the primary mission of U.S. forces in Iraq should evolve to one of supporting the Iraqi army, proposing an American advisory effort of between 10 and 20,000. But as Larry Korb and Brian Katulis, who was just on our show the other day, they're at the Center for American Progress, as they have stated, that approach is deeply problematic, as Iraqi security forces are far from reliable. And in the president's news conference, as he presented the Pentagon report this morning and tried to put a positive spin on it, he suggested that Iraq has come through on its commitment to provide, what, three brigades for the Baghdad security plan? But we know that this whole idea of the Iraqi army being ready to take over security and not be used as an ethnic cleansing mechanism, as we know, the army and the police are largely populated by Shiites. And there have been numerous incidents where the uniformed military and police have essentially conducted raids on Sunnis and worked to eradicate them from certain areas that the Shiites hope to dominate. And so it's very unclear, even with the three brigades that Bush is bragging about today, that they have the independence to really be security forces for Iraq and not for the various factions that they represent. The progress reports goes on to describe the deeply divided Iraqi government, and that we learned today a fascinating article from Bob Woodward, originally published in the Washington Post, in which he described some amazing meetings at the White House last November 13th. Now, November 13th, keep in mind that this was about a week after the midterm elections where the Republicans lost control of the House and saw the very narrow margin that the Democrats took over in the Senate. And on November 13th, in the Roosevelt Room of the White House, there was a morning meeting where President Bush came to give a little pep talk to the Iraq Study Group. That's Baker Hamilton. And at that time, he gave a kind of rosy, what they called a Churchillian vision of victory, and said that Maliki is a great prime minister and that a constitutional order is emerging. Now, just 2 hours later, around the very same conference table, CIA Director Michael Hayden painted a starkly different picture for members of the study group. And his quotes here are powerful, and keep in mind the context. This is November of 2006. He said that the inability of the Iraqi government to govern seems irreversible, adding that he could not point to any milestone or checkpoint where we can turn this thing around. He went on to say the government is unable to govern. We have spent a lot of energy and treasure creating a government that is balanced, and it cannot function. Then he kind of qualified himself and reeled it in a little bit with this statement: a government that can govern, sustain, and defend itself is not achievable in the short term. So you wonder what kind of antidepressants they have Bush on that cause him to issue these incredible kinds of statements and depictions that are so at odds with the reality and with the testimony of other people who we presumably can believe. And I think it's just stunning to see, as he once again tries to buy time, begging that everybody wait for the Petraeus report in September. And that's what this administration has been doing for so long now, is just trying to lurch from pillar to post and give you the idea that the next pillar or the next post is going to be the one that we can really lean on. And then when we get there, of course, it has crumbled. You can't lean on it. And they point, look over there. And that pillar, let's lean on that one. And we need 6 more months, like Tom Friedman says. We'll take a break and return, talk about the testimony and the contempt of Congress, the battle between the White House and the Judiciary Committees on the Hill. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for a great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-488 for carry out to die for.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes after the hour. That's our official theme music for Alberto Gonzalez and the Amnesia team over there at the Department of Justice. And we're having some technical issues here at the Peter B. Collins Show today with our telephone system. Faz Shakir has been trying to get into the program, and when we pick up the phone, there's a dial tone, and he's not there. We've traded some emails, and there's a call on the line right now that could be Faz. And he, of course, is the editor of the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress and research director there. And if you haven't signed up for the Progress Report, all you got to do is log on to progressreport.org. And at the little window there, give them your email address, and they'll drop you a copy every day. They do a great job of covering the news and giving you some stunning analysis as well. Is that Faz?
Yeah.
All right, Faz, we found you. Hi,
hey,
Faz.
Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I apologize for the big delay.
That's okay. And I know you've been calling, and I can't figure out. Maybe the NSA is trying to thwart your participation in the program today.
It wouldn't be the first time, would it be, Peter?
Nope, no, it wouldn't. So, Faz, update us, because I did get to catch some of the testimony of Sarah Taylor yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee, but I'm not up to speed on what happened with Harriet Myers and her command performance to come to see John Conyers at the House Judiciary Committee today.
Well, that doesn't take too long, fortunately, because she just didn't show up at all today. There was an empty seat, and the AP got some really fantastic photographs, which we put up, of an empty chair and Harriet Myers' placard sitting there with nobody there at the desk. And so it was a very short session. There wasn't really much involved, and now Congress moves to its next phase, which is whether to hold her in contempt and to pursue a court strategy with her.
Mm-hmm. And then let's back up, since that's a very clear-cut instance. Sarah Taylor yesterday gave a very unusual performance because she did block many questions, refused to answer them under the instruction of the president, you know, not to cooperate on specific issues. But she managed to get out a number of answers to questions that one would presume are favorable to the White House, such as,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I never talked to the president about that, but I can't talk about it.
Right, yeah, I think that it was a really well-done performance, but I think in cooperation with the White House, I think they gave her a few talking points, and she basically spread those talking points like wildfire yesterday, including the one the media picked up on, which is that she didn't have a conversation with the president, which never really was alleged. I think that, you know, these conversations, as we know, generally occur at the staff level and with Dick Cheney, and generally President Bush just pulls the trigger at the end. But on the other questions of substance, all she could offer was I can't recall, I don't know, I don't remember. And so on that front, really stonewalled the investigation. But on the other hand, she allowed herself not to be subject to a contempt citation by appearing, which Harriet Myers is now going to have to face.
Mm-hmm. So how do you see this? I mean, I realize we're speculating at this point, but both sides are pretty hunkered down here. Are the Democrats who control these two committees, House and Senate, do you think they're ready to go to the mat and really push to get this testimony, or would they rather save that battle for Karl Rove?
You know, that's a good question. I think that right now they're pursuing different strategies. With the Senate, they got Sarah Taylor yesterday, which now allows them to say, hey, we need Karl Rove because Sarah Taylor can answer the fundamental questions, which leads us to the next step in the ladder. With the House side, they were trying to get Myers, and they couldn't get her. So now they have a tougher battle, I think, to try to say, well, we need to see the next person on the list because they couldn't get her. I think that the House will probably try to pursue a contempt citation, go to court, and try to get Myers' testimony. I think she's pretty darn important in the investigation, probably was at the very center of everything that was going on, so she would be worthwhile. And I think the Senate could, on the other hand, move ahead with a Karl Rove a subpoena.
Mm-hmm. And we had an interesting exchange with Bruce Fine, who served in the Reagan administration as a deputy attorney general. And he's a staunch Republican and a sharp critic of the excesses of this administration. He stunned me by supporting impeachment for Gonzales, for Cheney, and for Bush, which even some Democrats aren't ready to support. And he really, you know, was just so sharply critical. Yet at the same time, he recognized that this legal process can play out for some time. And that's what Bush seems to be intent on, whether it's Iraq or this showdown with Congress, that he just needs to do everything he can to delay, and as Kyle Sampson said, gum it to death, to play it out just as far and as long as he can.
You know, and Bruce Fine is a really intelligent person when it comes to the legal process, and I think he's very familiar with what the White House is doing, and I think that's absolutely right. You're right. On Iraq, they're trying to stonewall. I think they might end up accepting maybe the ISG recommendations or some very soft resolution in order to continue their escalation. On the attorneys, I think he's got it exactly right. They're just going to wait it out and try to fight these subpoenas until President Bush leaves office. And then there's another one. That's the CIA leak and Scooter Libby. I think they're just going to continue to hold that one out and fight on that front and not release any information until he leaves office, at which point they'll probably pardon him. So they're playing a waiting game for sure.
Yeah. All right, Faz. Well, listen, thanks for going to great lengths to join us today. I really appreciate it. I'm heading off on vacation next week, so I'll talk to you in August sometime.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, Peter.
All
thanks
right.
For your patience.
You bet. Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. Coming up next, we're going to talk about an issue that is not on the front pages, not on your television news programs. There's a huge refugee crisis caused by the U.S. war and occupation in Iraq. We'll talk about that with Representative Madre, a human rights group. Coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to join the conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 3-8s and then 573-8372. And you can always email me. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. And I appreciate your comments, criticisms, ideas for topics and guests that you think ought to be on the program. And some people send me music, too. I got a great new bush-bashing song that I'll play for you a little bit later on in the program. Joining us now is Yifat Suskind. She is Communications Director of MADRE, an international women's human rights organization. And their website is simple. It's madre.org. Is it Yifat? Is that the right way to say it?
Yes, that's
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. And give our listeners a sense of the purpose of MADRE.
Well, as you said, we're an international women's human rights organization. MADRE is a membership organization, actually. It's made up of about 20,000 women and men based in the U.S. who work through our programs in partnership with women in countries where there are human rights violations that are caused by U.S. policy. That's kind of the mandate of the organization. And the work we do sort of flows from that. We work in support of usually very small community-based women's groups in Central America and in South America and Cuba and Haiti. We work in Africa and in the Middle East as well. We've, of course, been doing a lot of work in Iraq and Palestine lately.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to focus on, is the displacement of people internally in Iraq and those who have decided to leave the country. Dar Jamail is a journalist who's been on our program many times and has been feverishly trying to draw attention to this issue. And the American media doesn't seem to be interested, and the American people seem to be yawning about it. But by many accounts, upwards of 4 million Iraqis have been displaced, and there are significant problems in the neighboring countries of Syria and Jordan in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right that it's not something that the media has picked up on. I think it's very difficult for the mainstream media and for the Bush administration especially to sort of countenance that issue of all of the refugees in Iraq, because after all, we've been told that, you know, this war was for humanitarian reasons. You know, first that excuse about stopping weapons of mass destruction, and then this idea about bringing democracy in to Iraq, getting rid of this horrible dictator. You know, all of these things that kind of were selling to us the Iraq war as something noble. And so it's very hard if you're trying to, you know, toe that line to then, you know, sort of explain this huge humanitarian catastrophe, really. And it's not, you know, hyperbole to say that, both in terms of the refugees, in terms of the you know, just alarming and ongoing violence, and the way in which that the war has really, you know, destroyed the very fabric of Iraqi society, according to a lot of people who are living through it there.
Well, Bush made a few admissions today in his news conference that some people were surprised by, just his characterization of this as an ugly war, and that he understands, at least he claims to understand, the revulsion of many Americans by our policies. And if he wanted to, and I'm being a little facetious here, Yifat, but he could acknowledge the humanitarian crisis and blame it on Al-Qaeda. He blames everything else on them.
Right, you know, and I was just totally floored earlier in the week to hear him again try to feed us this connection between this group that happens to be called Al-Qaeda in Iraq and the attackers of September 11th, 2001. You know, that one of those original rationales of going to war against Iraq, which, you know, everyone knows is completely bogus, and the administration itself has had to admit is not true, namely that, you know, the 9/11 attackers had some connection to Iraq. You know, he's still sort of trying to put that forward as recently as the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
But, I do think that it's a good sign that he was forced to use that terminology of an ugly war. And, it's meaningful. It's not nearly what we need compared to the gravity of the situation, but it does indicate that he's under a lot of political pressure to show some relationship to reality in what he's saying about the war.
Yeah. So what is being done about those who have been displaced internally in Iraq? Let's start there, and then we'll talk about those who have left the country. Iraq is a very difficult place for NGOs to operate. The UN has been largely absent there since some of their workers were attacked a few years ago. So are there any NGOs who are working to stem the humanitarian crisis caused by our occupation?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what MADRE is doing. We are a partner organization, and we work always, with organizations that are from the countries that are affected. And so, you know, it's true that these big international aid agencies, they have responsibility to their staff, and at a certain point things get bad enough. You know, Iraq, Darfur, they pull out. But women who are organizing in those communities and don't have that option, you know, are not going anywhere. And we're working with an Iraqi women's group that's called the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq. It's a network across the country. And one of the many things that they're doing is to try to provide different kinds of support to families that have been displaced in the war. You know, they're going around, for example, to places, municipal buildings and places like that where families who have been made homeless have sort of gathered, you know, dozens of families living, let's say, in an abandoned school building with very few amenities, very few resources, and trying to do things like make sure that the children are going to school, because they went to these sort of encampments of displaced people and discovered that, you know, children had been out of school for 9-10 months. And it's something that, you know, when a war is going on for years and years, as is the case already with the Iraq War, you know, to lose 4 years of schooling is a tragedy in a young person's life, really, mm-hmm. on top of, you know, everything else that people are dealing with in terms of violence.
And how does your Iraqi partner organization deal with the sectarian violence, the civil war that's underway, and the antipathy between Sunnis and Shiites and some of the subgroups? Because as you attempt to help one person, you become a target of their opponent.
Absolutely. And, you know, what they've done is to confront that division very directly. In fact, Madre is supporting right now a program that I'm really, really thrilled to be part of, which is the Organization for Women's Freedom in Iraq has started a youth movement, really, based in Baghdad, of young Sunni and Shiite youth, men and women. These are, you know, young people from communities that are at war. And, you know, according to the logic of this civil war that we've seen break out, they're supposed to be hating each other. But what our organization did was to create a space for these young people to come together and understand that it's not in their interest to be at war with one another. And actually what they want, you know, these are people who identify with human rights, people who identify with principles of democracy and women's rights, and really, you know, they're not interested in being part of a sectarian civil war. They're not interested in living in an Islamist state either. And they've started through music and art and poetry and something that is sort of comparable to hip-hop in our culture, a sort of spoken word performance poetry gatherings in a public space in Baghdad. It's a really wonderful project, also a very dangerous project because of, you know, the violence that you mentioned. And actually several people from the group have been attacked and have been killed, but they're continuing with these gatherings. They call them freedom space gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And every few weeks, as often as they can, they get together. And one of the amazing things about the project is that it's growing. Even though it's so dangerous, even for people to leave their house, you know, in Baghdad, people are so hungry for some semblance of normalcy, of cultural life, of being able to socialize, and of just being able to remember what it's like, even if it's just for, you know, an hour on a Saturday night, life outside of, you know, outside of the war and the hardship. So, you know, every time they do it, there are more and more people there. The last time they did it, there were several hundred people getting up and sort of rapping, although this is a traditional Arabic form, you know, about women's rights and about love relationships and about sort of their dreams of the future and of freedom. And, you know, when you're living in a very, very violent, desperate situation, having those kinds of ways to hold on to a vision of, you know, that something else is possible and that there could be something, you know, to look forward to and to maintain your hopes, mm-hmm. is really, really crucial for people.
We're talking with Yifat Suskind. She is with Madre, Communications Director for this human rights group. They're on the web at madre.org if you want to learn more about them. Now, we've talked a little bit about displaced people inside Iraq. What about those who have headed for the border? And this has created a huge encampment in Syria. There's likewise pressure on Jordan to accept these refugees. And it appears that the U.S. once again is doing little or nothing, even to protect some of the people who have supported us and who are presumably vulnerable to retaliation, either before or after we evacuate. And it strikes me as well that those with the means to leave are those who have more to contribute to the future of Iraq in terms of their education, their economic status, and their general ability to help end the violence and build a new structure there.
Absolutely. You know, and it's always, it's almost always the very, very poorest people, the people with the least sort of resources and skills who wind up staying in a, you know, life-threatening situation, because, of course, if you possibly have the option, you get yourself and your family out. And so, as you said, we've seen a real, you know, sort of draining away of the most crucial human resources for Iraqi society. And there's been, at the same time, a very concerted attack against, you know, school teachers and intellectuals and artists and cultural workers. So it's created a really grave situation. It's absolutely the case that the U.S. has done an appalling job of providing resources and sanctuary for Iraqis. I mean, even to the point where they are not providing shelter for people who have risked their lives to work with coalition forces, you know, translators and people like that.
Well, and by comparison, you know, we admitted millions of Vietnamese, and I have no hard feelings about that. California absorbed a lot of Vietnamese immigrants in four or five waves since the, you know, the 1970s. And I believe that we have an equal, if not greater, obligation to help Iraqis, particularly those who put their lives on the line for the U.S. occupation. And what is the dismal record? Like 500 visas were granted in 2005, and maybe a total of under 10,000 since we invaded in 2003?
Yeah, no, that's accurate. That's accurate. And I think that, you know, the sort of ethical and moral debt goes far beyond, you know, people who directly, you know, rendered services to the U.S.
You're right.
Forces in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's absolutely an incredible debt that the U.S. owes Iraq. And you know, it's a shameful history, and it's a shameful policy, and it's part of a history. You know, that we've seen before. There's been a tremendous amount of human rights violations sort of stemming from the displacements. And, you know, the displacement itself, of course, is a violation of human rights, but there's terrible reports of, forced sexual trafficking and other kinds of rights violations that are common in places where people are made vulnerable because they've lost their homes, and their sort of community networks that protect people have been eroded in the process of the war.
And so as we look at this picture, what do we need to be doing, A, to raise awareness, and B, to get Americans to accept responsibility for these refugees?
Well, I mean, I think that ultimately, you know, we need to do more of what is already happening, just not on a big enough scale, which is to, you know, to demand an end to the war.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, of course, is, you know, hammering out responsible and ethical policies vis-a-vis, you know, the people who have been most affected. You know, I think that we need to see not just, you know, a withdrawal of U.S. forces. That's, you know, sort of a baseline policy, but also to look at what kind of policy we need to start putting in place in Iraq for the long term. We have a piece on our website called Looking for a Few Good Principles that we put out in the winter that tries to sort of outline for folks, you know, what a medium-term U.S.-Iraq policy could look like, and to start a discussion, really, with policymakers about issues like reparations, you know, and like putting together, you know, forces that can guarantee security and human rights for, you know, Iraqi citizens so that they can rebuild their society. But certainly a very first step is an end to the war itself, which is ongoing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Well, Yifan, I think it's a pleasure to meet you. I want to thank you for the work you're doing. I want to direct people to madre.org, where you can get more information on this human rights organization. Please keep working on it, because there's a lot of work to do.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Nice to talk with you. We're going to take a break and return. I want to thank a listener in Portland who has equipped me with my latest addition to the Peter B. Collins Music Archives Bush Bashing Division. We'll share that with you coming up right after this break. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew, a side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at stardatesolar.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can live.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's about 8 minutes in front of the hour. Sometimes I meet people and they know when I do a radio show, but they don't know anything about it, never heard it. They say, so what's your show about? And I say, oh, it's Bush bashing. And that's a pretty good way to explain it. And I think the show does a lot more than just bash Bush, but we do our fair share of Bush bashing. And here at the Peter B. Collins Secret Studio, we have a bookshelf that is loaded with books that are Bush bashing titles. I'm getting caught up in my bees there. And about 6 months ago, the bookshelf collapsed due to the weight of all those Bush bashing books. And people know that I collect songs that are critical of this administration, and sometimes people will email me new ones. And, for example, this is one of our greatest hits. I'm scrolling down here to pull it up. This is a guy named Yikes McGee from Baltimore, Maryland. And he sent me this song all the way back in 2003.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good, broke the old treaties, because he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Now, that's a song that has legs, and we've played it, almost once a week or maybe more ever since Yikes sent me that back in 2003 or 2004. He also did a song about Nancy Pelosi that we played once, but it's based on his juvenile fantasies about her, and it didn't click quite as well. So last week, I got an email from Steve, who prefers to be called Stive, S-T-Y-V-E. He listens on KPOJ in Portland, and I'm glad you do, Stive, Steve. And he sent along a tune here that I really like. Now, the language in here, I want to be clear, is not technically in violation of the FCC proscription following George Carlin's tirade back in the 60s or 70s, whenever he did that. But there is some strong language in here, so if you're easily offended, cover your ears or have your dog bark or something like that. But Stive sent along this tune, and it's from a guy named Andrew Horobin, and it's called Georgie Boy. I think it's kind of cool.
Be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building it with weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my tall pants in the Congress. And I show them my ass. If they kiss it, they take it to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try. Cause I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I said I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I am the meanest damn mother ever got on a mic. I am a George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. There was a man called Satan, but they called him a saint. He had everything I want, and it drove me insane. This diplomacy is the thing of the past. To just put two bunker busting caps in his ass. I get hard on my man on the button at night. I'm delivering peace in the name of Jesus Christ. I got together with my buddies to have and have more. Said I got a way of giving jobs to the poor. I called him Mr. Nike and he said just do it. I flopped it out to Tony Blair and he blew it. We never did find the weapons, but that's alright. Because I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. See, I'm George Bush Jr., I can do what I like. I am a George Bush.
So we're going to add this one to the Bush bashing category in the Peter B. Collins tax deductible music archives. But we've been collecting this stuff since, back in the Nixon years. Did you hear there's some new Nixon tapes that have been released, huh?
At our convention, Miami and L.A., a campaign across the USA. Let me make this perfectly clear. Let me stick it in your ear. They said, hey, babe, make a date with the Watergate. My fellow Americans, I said, hey, honey, make a date with the Watergate. And Martha Mitchell says, do, 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 do.
Back in the early 90s, I went to a nondescript warehouse building in Arlington, Virginia, where they keep, or at least they were keeping, the Nixon archive tapes at the time. Well, they've released another 11 hours of Nixon recordings, and one that is cited in a New York Times article today is really funny. Because Nixon wrote an 11-page, single-spaced memo about ways to make him seem warm and fuzzy.
Make a date with Watergate. I said, hey, Joe, make a date with Watergate.
I mean, this is a guy who had ice water in his veins and knew it.
She said.
Nixon wrote, there are innumerable examples of warm items. He had been nicey-nicey to the cabinet staff in Congress at Christmas time. He had treated cabinet and sub-cabinet officials, quote, like dignified human beings and not dirt under my feet. And with regard to the warmth business, the memo says, it's important to emphasize that anybody who writes an article about the president doesn't brag about all the good things he does for people, because nobody'd believe it.
He came from out on the island, my fellow Americans. Standing
yeah.
In California.
Bush the first had the vision thing problem, and Nixon had the warmth business. Those are phrases that pay for.
My fellow Americans, I said, hey, sugar, make a date with the Watergate.
That's enough of this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
The public say, do.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A discouraging report, but the president's not ready to give up.
I believe we can succeed in Iraq, and I know we must.
A monster market rally.
Today was a spectacular day for investors.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. An interim report from the White House says the Iraqi government has made little progress toward political or economic reform and suggests the Iraqi military would crumble without the help of U.S. troops. But President Bush is not ready to change course.
The president concedes the unsatisfactory findings in the report will provide ammunition to those who want the U.S. to withdraw from Iraq. But Mr. Bush sees the glass as half full.
Those of us who believe the battle in Iraq can and must be won see the satisfactory performance on several of the security benchmarks as a cause for optimism.
He acknowledges that there's war fatigue in America, but he again urges Congress to give U.S. forces in Iraq more time and resources and wait for a more extensive assessment of the situation in mid-September. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says the report shows the war in Iraq continues to head in a dangerous direction.
It's well past time for a change of course in Iraq.
House Democrats reacted by voting for a bill to require U.S. combat troops to start coming out of Iraq in 4 months. Georgia Democrat John Lewis.
One more death is one too many. This war is not worthy of another drop of human blood.
But while the president's support among Republicans has been slipping, with a veto, he can still keep Congress from forcing him to change course.
More on the Al-Qaeda threat. The Associated Press says a new national intelligence estimate currently being drafted warns that Al-Qaeda is stepping up its efforts to get terrorists into the United States and has most of the capabilities it needs to strike here. Intelligence analysts have reportedly concluded Al-Qaeda is as strong now as it was before 9/11. But in an interview for the CBS Evening News with correspondent Katie Couric, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice disputed that.
It is not the case that Al-Qaeda has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, and it is not the case that Al-Qaeda would have somehow been weaker had the United States taken a different course.
Now this.
The new Die Hard Platinum presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, we're the new Die Hard Platinum Battery. My name is Positive. Negative, introduce yourself.
What's the point?
Well, so we can tell people that we have 40% more reserve capacity.
Yeah, and our Evolution technology can power all sorts of gadgets for your car.
Well, I think it's something to be proud of.
Yes, you're beaming, and it's giving me a migraine.
The new Die Hard Platinum Battery with Evolution technology. Available at Sears and Sears.com/platinum. More starting power, more reserve power. Die Hard. American Major Spiral AGM Batteries.
Taking care of business.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists. Only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
No stock left behind. A broad market rally gave the Dow its biggest one-day percentage gain in nearly 4 years. It rose 283 points, more than 2%, to close at a record 13,861. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 closed nearly 2% higher. The planets align, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Behind this really was not only the institutional investors, but the small investors driving stocks higher. Right now, the fundamentals, namely earnings and inflation, look good. The caveat here is we don't want to go too far too fast.
New sales figures from major retailers helped propel the rally. Charles Grom is a retail analyst at J.P. Morgan.
J.C. Penney, Walmart, and BJ's, all three of those names had a lot of fear in them going into the numbers today, and for the most part, they looked better than expected.
Strong economic news might not be good for the housing market. Freddie Mac says mortgage rates are at their second highest level of the year, averaging 6.73% for a 30-year fixed-rate loan. A lawsuit filed in Canada seeks $1.3 million in damages for nine people who claim they might have been exposed to tuberculosis when Andrew Speaker, the infected Atlanta lawyer, took a commercial flight from Prague to Montreal in late May. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen doesn't think the plaintiffs have much of a case.
The lawsuit is not likely to succeed for many different reasons, even if you disregard the fact that Speaker does not have the form of TB that everyone was worried about, and the place to start would be that if none of these plaintiffs have contracted TB or otherwise gotten physically ill, the injuries for so-called pain and suffering they're alleging are fairly nebulous.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ever run out of ink at the wrong time? Office Depot has the solution. Office Depot ink and toner is always low priced, guaranteed. Office Depot has over 500 choices in store and thousands more online, including our own Office Depot brand, which will save you 10%. Plus, get $3 off your next in-store purchase for each empty ink and toner cartridge you bring in, up to 25 per day. Office Depot, taking care of business. Selections vary by location. See store for details.
Get the good stuff.
Here's something to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at NAPA Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on every week at this time. We invite Scott Dick on our program. He's our official contributor on military and veterans issues. Scott served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired as a major. And he helps me understand how the Pentagon works, how soldiers think, and stuff like that. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And as we are here on Thursday afternoon, and I say that because some of our listeners in Portland, Oregon, hear this show at another time, and I don't want them to be totally thrown off, Scott has an interesting meeting that he is hosting tonight in Monterey at the Monterey Senior Center, and you're going to talk about genetically modified organisms and Frankenfoods?
I am indeed. It's genetically engineered, genetically modified, those kind of things, and the arguments that it's perfectly safe and they're well-regulated, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is at 7 o'clock tonight at the Monterey Senior Center, and that's Lighthouse and Dickman.
That's correct. Thank you, Peter.
And for our Central Coast listeners, Scott will be sitting in on the show on KRXA 540, and that's Friday at noon. So what do you have planned?
You got me there. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to see how the news goes, and then I'll bring that up tomorrow.
Great. Sure. You got plenty of time. I know how that works. Well, Scott, as we are here on Thursday, a number of things have been developing that I want to talk with you about this hour. There is a new intelligence analysis about Al-Qaeda that we want to talk about, and Condoleezza Rice has made some statements about that that we'll get to. Also, the Senate has defeated a bill. That's actually an amendment that was offered by former Navy member Jim Webb, now a member of the U.S. Senate from Virginia, and we'll talk about that. It would have permitted the troops to get a nice break after they serve a lengthy tour in Iraq. And also, the Republicans are blocking efforts to give the troops a slightly bigger raise. than has been budgeted. But there is a report that surfaced today from the Pentagon, required by the Congress under the most recent extension of funding for the Iraq occupation, called the supplemental, that was passed at the end of May. And the president is trying to spin it. And he's such an optimist that he thinks the glass is half full. And when you look at the various so-called benchmarks that were established and the reporting that is coming forward from the Pentagon, it's kind of a stretch to say that the glass is even, a third full.
Well, you know, Peter, he's an optimist. And, what's interesting about the difference between a pessimist and an optimist?
No, I bet you'll tell me.
A pessimist says that things just can't get any worse. And an optimist, like the President Bush, says, oh, yes, they can. And, you know, he has to spin this any way he can so that the American people will continue to be bamboozled that we're right at the cusp of success in Iraq. And it's only the crafty, blocking, obstructive Democrats that are keep this from going the way he wants it to go. And in fact, I think it was Orrin Hatch said yesterday or the day before, that Mitch McConnell from Kentucky said, we need to give the troops the chance to win. No, the Democrats need to let the troops win. So my question is how has the Democrats kept the troops from winning up till now? That for me is an issue.
Because they wanted to cut and run, but the Republicans wouldn't let them. They wanted to cut the funding, but the Republicans wouldn't let them.
So, we've been at war now 6 years, longer than World War II, and we have not captured or killed Osama bin Laden. We haven't defeated the Taliban. They're on the rise in Afghanistan. We have sectarian violence at record levels in Iraq. Our troops are dying at the rate of some like 200 a month. We're now at over 4,000 casualties for both. We spent almost $500 billion. Peter, what have the Democrats done to keep the troops from winning? Did we? I guess the Senate members of the Senate and the House went to Iraq and stood shoulder to shoulder with the sectarian insurgents and protected them from our troops' bullets. I guess that's how we prevented the troops from winning.
Well,
it's ridiculous desertion.
You know, Scott, the Democrats just can't help it. They give off a bad vibe.
That's it. See, the whole point that Americans, the American people don't understand is if the Democrats win the presidency next year, of course, it will embolden Al-Qaeda guerrillas to fight even harder. And my question is, huh? My Scooby-Doo kind of, huh? Because it's not going to change the leadership in the Defense Department. We might do better with a different Secretary of Defense and the way we select our three-stars and our four-stars. So they're not such toadies as they've been. Maybe that will make them more aggressive. Maybe that will actually release them to do their jobs, because I don't think they're being allowed to do their jobs now. And Bush said, if the commanders ask for it, I'll give it to them. We know, Peter, we've talked about it on the show, that is a lie, and it makes me crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many lies. It's amazing that anybody believes anything that Bush has to say these days. It appears that some Americans do. But, Scott, as we look at this report card, the benchmarks, whatever people want to call it, even on the ones that the Bush administration is rating the Maliki government as satisfactory on are questionable. For example, they say that they have satisfactorily spent reconstruction money, but right here in the text of the New York Times article, it says, in the report, Maliki's government will be credited with taking steps toward forming a committee to review and overhaul the Iraqi constitution and with making progress on allocating and spending its $10 billion budget for reconstruction, though officials say little of the money has been spent so far.
Well, what hasn't been spent has been stolen. Peter, you know, if we analyze the verbiage, a committee to review, that's 3 years worth of bureaucratic stalling right there, stonewalling.
Mm-hmm.
A committee to review. If you want to stonewall the bureaucracy, just set up a committee and then make excuses why the committee can't perform its mission and just say it's under review. You can just see, we have a committee. They're meeting next month. They meet once a month for an hour. I'm speechless that Americans and our American elected leaders aren't smarter than this to tear that report up. And, of course, the mainstream media hasn't been subject to, you know, in my career, probably, I want to say, without too much exaggeration, 500 of these kinds of presentations and briefings where you learn to sift out the crap and realize that nothing's been done.
Yeah. Here's another benchmark that they say Maliki has been satisfactory on, protecting the rights of minority political parties in the Iraqi legislature. Well, you know how they do that? The Sunnis and the other minority parties don't participate. They boycott. And that's how Maliki is protecting their rights? I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense, and it's just, it's BS. Well, how about the next one here, establishing political, media, economic, and services committees in support of the Baghdad security plan? What the hell does that mean?
Nothing. You support, to create a committee, to investigate the committee, to look at a bunch of guys looking at the committee, doing a review of the committees. You know, Maliki, the point you made previously to that is, the Sunnis and the Shias are at civil war. They're at war with each other. How is he protecting their rights? By killing them?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he's the guy who blocked certain tactical maneuvers, tactical operations to destroy the worst of the Shia insurgent militant groups. So the ones doing the most of the sectarian killing. So how is that protecting the rights? And who certified that he's satisfactory in that regard?
Senior administration officials.
What would be unsatisfactory if he actually walked around with a 9mm himself, like Saddam Hussein, and shot people in the head?
Maybe. One other that I'll pick on here, outlining procedures by which provinces can form semi-autonomous regions like Kurdistan. Now, to outline a procedure doesn't take a whole lot, but the only thing I know is that there have been attempts to hold elections in Kurdistan, and the Maliki government has been delaying them and blocking them because they're afraid of the result.
Well, now, Peter, come on. You're not showing your bureaucratic expertise. Outlining a procedure. I don't know if there's a lot of military historians out there, but I believe it was either the North Koreans and the U.S., in their discussions, took 10 years, and it could have been the Vietnamese and the Americans. So it seems like whenever the Americans are involved, this stuff takes long. 10 years to negotiate the size and shape of the negotiating table.
Yeah.
Now, so we can outline a procedure to have discussions about the shape and size of the table, and we can make that, we can compress that 15 minutes work into 10 years if we want to stall us. And that's what, you know, outlying procedures is, that's another one of those nothing statements.
Yeah, bureaucratic filler. All right, next up we've got the elements here that are considered not satisfactory. Number one, enacting legislation on de-Ba'athification, widening access to government jobs to members of Saddam Hussein's former ruling party. Well, come on, the Shiites run the government, and that's not going to happen anytime soon.
They want to conduct criminal investigations and cases. Actually, they want to settle old scores. And the idea that they're going to let Bob, that ship has sailed. Paul Bremer let that ship sail when he made them all criminals and disbanded the military and the police.
Right. The next two go together, providing Iraqi commanders with authority to execute the security plan and ensuring Iraqi security forces provide even-handed enforcement of the law. Now, even the Bush administration admits that they're not scoring on either of those points, and I think the true situation is even worse than this suggests.
Well, doesn't that contradict completely earlier when they gave satisfactory in protecting the minority rights of minorities?
But that's just in the legislature. So, see, that was qualified to the 300 or so people who are in the legislature.
But isn't he in the legislature? Does the Prime Minister go down there every day and work, or does he do it from someplace else?
Right, but when you talk about the Iraqi security forces and the commanders, you know, they're not covered by that statement about the legislature. So, you know, like I say, even on the ones that Bush acknowledges they're not scoring satisfactorily on, the problems are much greater than what these itty-bitty benchmarks suggest can be done about them. And I don't think Bush is ready to confront that. He did say today that this is an ugly war and that he knows the American people are tired of it. But that's about as... Go ahead.
But Peter, I thought that war was over in 04. Mission accomplished, baby.
Yep. Major combat operations have ended. Scott Dix with us here. Scott, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Hang on there. Scott Dix will be with us this entire hour. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time for traffic, and let's get to it. Let's talk a little about, we got to talk about a Saratoga problem. South 85 for Saratoga Avenue, two-vehicle crash, right shoulder. Prunedale, we're looking at Highway 156 eastbound, just after Cathedral. Again, Highway 156 eastbound after Cathedral. It is a stall vehicle. The eastbound lane is completely blocked at this point, so we'll try to get more information by our next report. Northbound 17 and southbound 17, check in with absolutely no problems there. Other than that, no other major stalls or crashes to really mention. We're going to mention our Santa Cruz long-term road work, northbound 1 at Emmeline. 24 hours a day, the off-ramp shut down for, again, long-term road work. This report brought to you by the Orkin Pest Control. A termite queen can lay as many as 30,000 eggs a day. That's a lot of mouse to feed. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues as we talk military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. there in the United States Senate, there was an interesting debate this week as Jim Webb tried to pass an amendment requiring that troops get as much time at rest as they spend on combat duty, and also separately an effort to increase the raise for the troops from 3% to 3.5%, which amounts to about $15 a week for the lowest paid soldiers, has been blocked by the Republicans. And, Scott, this gets back into some of the rhetoric about who supports the troops. And the Republicans continue to believe that they have the moral high ground on supporting the troops by staying in the quagmire and denying them a raise, or at least an additional raise.
Yeah, you know, they can build a bridge to nowhere. They can fund $353 million for one guy to build one bridge to support 50 people. But this kind of money is not important to them. And, you know, it really irks me that the president is using the tax and spend rubric when we know it's a complete lie. They're the ones that have been spending like there's no tomorrow. And I can't believe the Democratic Party and the mainstream media is letting him get away with that.
Yeah. Scott, turn your... I just turned myself down there trying to balance things. Turn your output up a little bit on your gizmo there.
Okay.
Give us a little more gain, please.
Okay.
And yes, I mean, this is a real serious set of issues, because as the Democrats try to wind down the occupation and, you know, really support the troops in the most meaningful way by getting them out of harm's way, the Republicans keep sniping. And, you know, this Webb amendment is similar to a proposal from Congressman John Murtha that didn't go very far in the House back when they were wrangling over the supplemental in April and May. But he felt one way to reduce deployments in Iraq was to require the troops be fully trained and rested and equipped before they be sent into combat. Now, that seems to be a very basic notion of protecting our troops. But here we have Lindsey Graham of South Carolina basically referring to this as micromanaging how you fight the war. And so we shouldn't micromanage, and we should sit back and watch as generals are forced to deploy, redeploy, and extend deployments of troops that particularly the Guard and reserve units that are already way overextended.
Let's put this into perspective. I believe there's a couple things going on here, Peter. First, you have dwell time is what they're calling it. And dwell time is the time for units to retrofit, to refit or retrofit, to repair equipment, and to get themselves back in order. That's critical for our soldiers to be able to get their the feet firmly on the ground, reestablish relationships with their families if they're going to be returned immediately. It takes months. I've seen this personally after deploying on long deployments. It takes months to get your equipment back together, to get your families back together, and to start having a normal life. All that Webb was saying is, look, the Defense Department is not doing its job. Yes, it is micromanaging. And why? Because Dumsfeld filled the 3- and 4-star ranks with yes men. Nobody wanted to tell him, you know what, you're breaking the Army, you have retired generals who have the guts to say, like McCaffrey the other night, you're breaking the military, and Webb is just following up on these sidebar conversations he's having with active duty and retired generals saying, these men and women need time, and if DOD, you're not going to do it because you're toady enough to Cheney and Bush, we're going to do it for you. Yeah, it's micromanaging, but what else are we going to do?
Well, we're now $600 billion into this war. About $12 billion a month now is the tab. And for them to spend like drunken sailors, write all these blank checks, and then when a proposal comes in to increase the raise for the troops from 3 to 3.5%, the Republicans say, oh, no, we can't do that.
And they countered that by saying since 2001, they've had 33% increases in salary. That's the equivalent. Of course, and we spent over $1 billion on bonuses and incentives for these guys to stay in, and we still haven't met our recruiting goals. The military, the Army especially, is beginning to not crack, but crumble. And, you know, these 3- and 4-star generals got what they wanted from Rumsfeld. They got that now they can retire at full salaries, not partial retirement, fool. It went from 75 to 100%. That was passed whether Republicans had the Congress. But they don't want to pay the troops another half percent.
Scott Dix, stay with us. We'll continue after the break. And Joshua Kors, who writes for The Nation, is going to join us briefly right after the break on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored by Office Depot, taking care of business, and by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. This is Dave Ross, in for Charles Osgood. She said she was retiring from the anti-war movement, but now Cindy Sheehan, who camped outside President Bush's Crawford Ranch after her son Casey was killed in Iraq, says she's ready to come back as a politician. More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Dave. Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design, Print, and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox-certified print specialist to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit them online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox-certified print specialists only at Office Depot, where they guarantee your documents are done right. Office Depot, taking care of business. Let me tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. I'm talking about Ireland. There, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. Dave?
Anti-war activist Cindy Sheehan is on a journey from Crawford, Texas to Washington, D.C. to demand accountability for the decisions that led us into Iraq. But Dave, you say, didn't she just announce just a few weeks ago she was finished with the anti-war movement? Yes, she did. But now she plans to run for political office. And in particular, she wants to replace the woman who she says has failed to round up enough Democratic votes to cut off war funding. She has her sights on Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, if she doesn't put impeachment back on the table by the time our Journey for Humanity and Accountability gets to Washington, D.C., then I will announce that I'll run against her.
She says the Democrats weren't elected just to debate non-binding resolutions.
Well, you can't say you're against the war and vote to give George Bush more money to wage it.
And just to make doubly sure, she's burned bridges with her former Democratic friends, who started cringing when she allowed herself to be photographed with egomaniac Hugo Chavez. She says that at this point, she has had far more respect for Republicans who've come out against the war.
The Republicans know what side of the bread, you know, that their election's buttered on, and they're very clever. I'm not saying that they're good, and I'm not saying that they're right, but they've been clever, and they will distance themselves from the Bush regime.
A regime she feels is out of control, and for which there is only one solution.
Of course we're looking for impeachment.
Something she would readily vote for if she unseats Nancy Pelosi. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
They only want to tell you lies, it's time to go home, to take our boys away now, to take our girls away.
Cowboys win.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes past the hour. Scott Dick is with us this hour, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And you can call in and talk with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Joshua Kors, who writes for The Nation, is going to join us in just a moment and tell us about a special news package on television that you definitely ought to check out. But first, Billy joins us from Capitola with a comment about what Scott and I were discussing in a preceding segment. Hello, Billy.
Hello, radio gods.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you both do great work. So here's the thing. It's really how do you see troops? I mean, and I guess in the old days, you know, kings and dictators saw troops as tools to be used, and it doesn't matter how you crunch them up. But you know, now it seems like, you know, we sort of value human beings more. We you don't want to waste them. You don't want to use them badly. You know, you wouldn't just sort of, well, stall, let, you know, 200 die a month and stall. Isn't that the question? Don't the Republicans sort of see the troops in an old-fashioned way where it's a tool, and if we eat them up, big deal. That's what they're there for.
Well, Scott, what's your comment on that?
Billy, I think that's an excellent point. The problem is when we had the draft, they were not very well trained, and that was sort of in the Republicans' mind an economical use of cannon fodder. And a lot of times the troops, they'll self-report. During World War II and Korea and Vietnam, they felt like they were cannon fodder. What you have now are highly trained, educated troops. The average officer has between 3 and 5 years of not only advanced military schooling, but advanced civil schooling as well, master's degrees, PhDs.
That's some serious investment we have in these people.
$100,000, $250,000. I mean, not let alone the real experts, the specialists, the pilots, the nuclear specialists, artillery guys.
That's $1 million.
The average soldiers, their education is $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 as well. None of these people are just off the turnip truck. And so you can't expend it. I mean, if we said, hey, these are Halliburton non-replaceable $250,000, $300,000 pieces of equipment, I think somebody might be raising a stink. But because they're volunteers, it's okay to expend them in stupid ways because, one, the Republicans' children aren't in any uniforms.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so crazy, you know, to say they support the troops and then in every instance underpay them. Don't pay the money for the brain research. Let, you know, the hospitals go downhill. I don't understand how the rest of the Republicans have fallen for this Faldi role.
Well, you know, Billy, I think that, that the point you make applies beyond the military, that Republicans view workers as interchangeable slugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter to them if the workers are here stateside and happen to be U.S. citizens, are illegals who have been drawn in and wink nod, are working to lower the wages of the manufacturing employees in our inventory, our base. And then you look at the way they have sent people's jobs offshore as a way of cutting their costs and, again, undermining the stature of the middle class in this country.
Well, yeah, smarty pants, you got it exactly right.
Okay, Billy, thanks.
Peter, I just want to add one thing. This is this quote was from Graham, Lindsey Graham, who used to be the former chairman. I'm redundant. He's the former chairman of the Senate Armed Services Military Personnel Subcommittee. He was working hand in glove with McCain to kill this dwell time amendment, and he said, if you want to take care of the troops, let them win. Now, I'd like to just caveat that by saying, Graham, you idiot. If you want to take care of the troops, let them kill Osama bin Laden and eliminate al-Qaeda. And until that happens, and they're not in Iraq, neither is Osama bin Laden. It's in Afghanistan is where the real fight is, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. And, Scott, we're joined now by Joshua Kors. I met him when he published an article in The Nation back in April of this year about the specialist town. And it describes the sorry way that our military is treating returning wounded veterans and trying to downgrade their injuries and also downgrade the liability that the military and the Veterans Affairs departments have for helping these people as they have served our country and suffered in the process. Joshua, welcome back to our program.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. And you wanted to tip us off that tonight on ABC television, that's Thursday night, your story I don't know if it's about a town or if it's just the broader issue that you've raised about wounded Iraqi veterans and the way they're being treated. But there are stories on both World News Tonight, which airs at 6:30 in most areas, and Nightline, which comes on at 11:30.
Yeah, that's right. It has to do with the broader issue, and it deals with specialist John Towns' story. Many met him through my Nation article. He's the soldier who went to Ramadi, Iraq, was struck by a rocket, and lost most of his hearing, left with headaches, other severe injuries, and won the Purple Heart for his wounds. But when he came back and it was time to discharge him, the Army decided that his wounds were actually caused by a pre-existing personality disorder. And discharging him that way, they prevented him from collecting disability or medical benefits. They even had him give back his signing bonus so that as he left the Army, he was told he actually owed them several thousand dollars.
Yeah, it's just a stunning story. And Joshua, you're on the East Coast, so the package is already run on World News Tonight. Were you pleased with the way they presented it?
Great work. Reporter Bob Woodruff's been working with me on this for the last few months. Woodruff, as you know,
sure, he
has
was
his
injured.
Own experience with injuries in Iraq. And I think very much empathizes with what John Town and these other soldiers are going through. To come back wounded is one struggle, but to be denied benefits by these phony accusations of personality disorder really has been an extra war these soldiers have had to fight. And now Congress on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, are reaching out to these soldiers. Just today, I received information from Senator Barack Obama's office talking about an amendment that would put an immediate freeze on these personality disorder discharges.
Mm-hmm.
On the Republican side, Senator Kit Bond, one of the most conservative members of the Congress, has been active in getting this issue out there to the Senate. 31 senators, including Kit Bond, Barack Obama, Barbara Boxer, Joseph Lieberman, John Kerry, have signed on and asked the Secretary of Defense to investigate this personality disorder scandal. And, Peter, this won't be the last you hear this. Congressman Bob Filner, the chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee, is going to be holding hearings on this issue coming up in just a few weeks.
Oh, that's great. You're really making some headway there. Scott, would you like to comment? Have you ever seen this kind of thing happen where they use the pretext of a pre-existing condition, a personality disorder that presumably would have barred someone from serving in the first place, but they cite it after the fact as a reason to deny benefits?
Well, that's a classic, bait and switch. They get this guy to go according to them, they got a warm body to go to Iraq. When he comes back, they suddenly discovered that they'd made a mistake. And this seems to be, from my research, and, your guest, Mr. Kors, can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like this is written about just a bit and seems to be centered at the Fort Carson, which is in Colorado Springs, Colorado, base, that there was a whole rash of those, which far eclipsed other facilities or installations around the U.S. Is that right?
That's right. It's happening at all the installations around the country, 22,500 in just the last 6 years alone. That's a large amount of personality disorder discharges. But, Colorado Springs, Fort Carson, does seem to be an epicenter of this problem. And I think that's in part because some of the personnel. Peter, one of the strangest facts about the fallout from this scandal is that not only is Fort Carson the epicenter, but they've also been the officials left in charge of reviewing these discharges. The Surgeon General let one of the top officials at Fort Carson, Colonel Stephen Knorr, be the official review of whether these discharges were correct. Turns out Knorr was actually involved in the original personality disorder diagnoses.
Well, then they'll probably ask him to investigate himself in the next phase.
Well, that's exactly what they did. Knorr decided that he had gotten it right the first time, and they terminated the review at that point.
No kidding.
Do you know if this Knorr, is he an Army psychiatrist?
Yes, he is. He is. He has two capacities, first as a psychiatrist, and second as the chief of behavioral health at Fort Carson's Evans Army Hospital.
Very interesting. Well, Joshua, we will continue to follow your work. I want to thank you for updating this. You sent me an email, and I appreciate the tip-off. Again, I want to invite people here on Thursday, July 12th, to watch ABC's World News Tonight. In most markets, it's on at 6:30 p.m., and then Nightline, which follows the late local news at 11:30 on most stations. And
listeners who want more information can also go to my website, joshuacors.com.
That's spelled
K-O-R-S.
Very good, K-O-R-S. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to talk with you again. And, Scott, we're joined now by Frank in Marina. Hello, Frank. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Good show so far.
Why, thank you.
Thank you.
Scott, Peter.
Yes, sir.
If you paid the troops $10,000 a week, it would be the same thing. I mean, you can't give more than...
Good.
They have to make a living.
Frank,
I understand.
Hey, Frank, I interrupted you there technically for a second, so come back and complete your thought. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, it's my fault. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You know, I put 8 years in a uniform. I've got several honorable discharges. Scott put longer. But the thing is, you can't keep raising the pay like this, hoping, and bonuses, and reenlistment bonuses, and signing up bonuses, because all it is cannon fodder for this administration. You guys know this. Your listeners know this. And it's not whether it's 3% or whether the... you know, the officer corps gets 100% when they retire, whatever. The thing is, it was an illegal act of military aggression. Our troops, and I hate to use the word troops because they're like pawns on a checkerboard, a chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
They're being used to murder people that did nothing to us. It's cold-blooded murder, and if we condone this, then we have to apologize to any Japanese or German that was executed or imprisoned for following orders from their superiors at World War II. And you guys, you've heard me many times bad-mouthing the Nazis, so I'm not saying anything about that. But the thing is, you can't have a double standard. And, you know...
Well, Frank, I think I'm hearing you right, but I separate the issues because, yes, I think this is an illegal war, and I think that we have put our soldiers on an unwinnable mission. It's not even a well-defined mission.
But
we've put them in harm's way, and I think that we should give them a raise that's even more than 3.5%.
No, I understand with you. Look, they're making a living. You know, when I was in... And Scott could tell you, we used to call it three hots in a cot, three hot meals a day and a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for the Southern boys whom I liked, I got along with, we used to say, hey, you got your first pair of shoes when you know, that's a little backward down there. But here's the thing, Peter. I listened to Democracy Now! This morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was out in the Sierra foothills. Anyway, I listened. She interviewed three Iraqi veterans, combat veterans. And I can only tell you, and I'm going to send away for the tape, but you talk about what they talked about their experiences there, and it's a nightmare. And like they all basically agreed on, we're just creating more hostility and more people. I mean, somebody comes into your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you and your wife and kids are in bed, and, you know, they get up and they start harassing you, and you mm-hmm. got guns pointing at you, or maybe kill your sister or rape mm-hmm. your wife or something. What do you expect them to do?
Yeah, join Frank, I appreciate your call today. I got to run to a break here, but I really appreciate your call and your heartfelt sentiments. We're going to take a break, return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll go to more calls here in the next segment. You can grab a line right now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Talking about a problem right now. It is in, Greenfield, Arroyo Seco at Elm, and it is an accident reported there. Also, San Jose, South 680 after Barry S. A solo spin out has been cleared from the lanes. The problem traffic extremely backed up in the area. Southbound, northbound 17 looking good. No problems to report there. Let's take a look at eastbound 25. It'll slow and go out of Gilroy and into Hollister. By the way, southbound Highway 1 between the Monterey and Carmel, really no significant delays at this report. And this report is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour, and we're still with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. As we mentioned at the beginning of the hour, Thursday night, in so many cases tonight, Scott Dick is giving a talk about genetically modified organisms and foods, and that is at 7 p.m. in Monterey at the Senior Center at Lighthouse and Dickman. Again, 7 o'clock Thursday, Scott Dick is going to talk about very interesting issues related to genetically modified foods and food products. And, Scott, we're joined by Tim from Eureka right now. Tim, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Peter. When I heard about this topic, I quit shopping and raced home to make this call. If you'll let me, this is a letter, it's not too long, from the Eureka Times Standard, in California here, of course, Eureka Times-Standard, of June 26th. Letters to the editor, ignorance on the subject, which talks directly about what the mercenaries are getting paid in Iraq. If you'll let me, quickly.
I'm going to let you. Go ahead.
Okay. In response to a letter on June 13th, Private Armies Defend Nothing, I recently returned from a year-long tour in northern Iraq where one of my tasks was to oversee a $16.8 million per year contract where a company providing security escort services to our government employees. I am happy to refute the previous letter writer's statement on several points in that the 50 to 75 security experts that I work closely with over the course of the year were extremely professional, had the highest morals and ethics I have ever seen displayed in my 30 years in the military, and adhere to the very rigidly enforced rules in place for all contractors. I have traveled in the 7 northern provinces of Iraq and can tell you the safest mode of travel after air is via contracted security escort. The large majority of these experts are not from the United States and won't be returning to the United States. As the letter writer states, most are former SAS, British Special Air Service, Royal Marines, Paras, etc. I especially like the writer's line about fulfilling personal fantasies, as if it would be fulfilling to ride along for 2 hours from Tikrit to Balad, waiting every second for an IED to blow your vehicle in half or for the ambushers to open fire. Try that twice a day, 3 times a week, for a year, and see if their $12,000 per month is enough. I don't think it is.
Well, but hold on here a second, Tim, because $12,000 a month is about 10 times as much as the take-home pay of a uniformed soldier.
Yeah, that's $144,000 per year, and he thinks that should be base pay, and it's only 3 times a week. Can you imagine if you told our troops now that they only had to risk their lives twice a day, 3 days a week? they got 4 days a week down, man.
And I would say that the moron that wrote that letter, I don't care if he was in uniform 50 years, he's still a moron. Why do we have those contractors there? Because we've never had enough troops there. And that's the Bush administration's fault.
Right, and my response to him, which was also published, is that we've always, as Peter has had on his show previously, we've always had some private contractors in our military. But it's insane to carry on, as you've said, more troops are over there, private troops, than our uniformed services.
Well, let me be clear, they're more contractors than service members.
Right,
not
right,
all
right.
of the contractors
well,
are carrying guns.
Right, right. Not all are. Okay. Yeah. But the trend with the privatization trend of the Bush administration is obviously they want to hand over the security of the United States and the protection of the Constitution and everything we hold dear to soldiers of fortune, to mercenaries whose primary motive is not the Constitution of the United States, but money.
You're
but
right.
Frank, you're missing out. You're missing an extremely important point, and I think, Peter, you've missed it too. Part of the revolution or the renovation of the military by Rumsfeld and Bush and Cheney, especially Cheney and Rumsfeld, was that, remember, Peter, corporations can do everything better than government, especially big government. So if Grover Norquist has his way, big government, he'll drown it in the bathtub. And then we can contract out
with big corporations.
With big corporations, they obviously know how to do it better, and they got it down to 3 times a week. So cool. What
yeah.
we should do is just turn this whole thing over to Halliburton and Blackwater, and let them go at it and bring our troops home.
Tim, I really appreciate your call today, and thanks for your letter writing to the paper there.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to hear from you. Now, Scott, just under 2 minutes remaining, and one of the stories we wanted to touch on is this intelligence report saying that Al-Qaeda has rebuilt its operating capability to a level at par or perhaps greater than it was before the September 11th attacks. And you heard a comment from Condoleezza Rice that ticked you off.
Well, she said, no, that's not true. So here's the Secretary of State, who used to be head of the National Security Council, who said before the war, listen to our intelligence guys. They know what they're saying. There are weapons of mass destruction there. You know, they're going to come and get us. They're going to follow us home if we don't win this war in Iraq. Now you have the guys, the CIA guys, the experts saying, hey, the Al-Qaeda is better and stronger than they were before this. And Condoleezza Rice said two things. She said, I don't think so. And, of course, if it's true, it's not because of actions that we've taken since 9/11.
Wow.
Get that. What she meant, that she didn't say, well, it's not because we invaded Iraq. We've made the world stronger and the U.S. stronger. Yeah, no, actually, we've made the what they talked about was branding, brand management by Al-Qaeda,
mm-hmm.
which they didn't see before our invasion in Iraq.
Well, and at the news conference this morning, the president spun against this report and tried to suggest that, we still got some work to do, but we're more secure than we were prior to September 11th. And we hear Chertoff, the Homeland Security guy, saying that in his gut he feels that an attack is imminent. And when you put all this together, it's cacophony. You're not hearing a consistent message. You hear wishful thinking and spin put together with an occasional shot of fear up. And the combination, I think, just leaves Americans, like the town of the boy who cried wolf.
Well, they're trying to create the conditions so they can say that Republicans, like our presidential winner,
Giuliani or the wonderful Duncan Hunter, are they going to be able to lead this country in the next, security decade?
Right. Well, Scott, thank you. It's been a great hour. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll talk about Pakistan next.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
The show on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
On this vote, the yeas are 223, the nays are 201. The bill is passed.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announcing the results of a new attempt to change course in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Following the disappointing report on progress in Iraq, House Democrats voted to require U.S. troops to start coming out of Iraq within 4 months. Georgia Democrat John Lewis.
How many more of our young people must die before we realize enough is enough?
President Bush has been losing support from Republicans, but still has more than enough to sustain a veto from those like Jeb Hensarling of Texas.
There is too much at stake to declare defeat today.
The Senate is also continuing to debate Iraq with some critical votes coming up next week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, where just hours before the House vote, President Bush made it clear what he thinks of congressional efforts to set military strategy in Iraq.
I don't think Congress ought to be running the war. I think they ought to be funding our troops.
Mr. Bush has consistently said he'd veto legislation setting timetables for withdrawal. In his words, trying to run a war through resolutions is a prescription for failure.
According to the Associated Press, a new intelligence assessment concludes that Al-Qaeda is trying harder to infiltrate operatives into the United States. The assessment, when it's finalized, is also expected to say Al-Qaeda is probably still pursuing weapons of mass destruction and would use them if it could. Encouraging economic news gave the stock market a huge lift today. The Dow jumped 283 points, more than 2%, to a record close of 13,861.
By and large, this was a very positive day for stocks. We saw strength in the financials, in the technology stocks, in healthcare, and even in the consumer group.
Michael Farr is chief investment officer at Farr Miller in Washington. Retail sales reports were a catalyst for the market. Several big chains, including Walmart, posted better-than-expected gains for June. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ both rose nearly 2%. Disaster was narrowly averted at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport in Florida when a United Airlines pilot missed a turn onto a taxiway and pulled onto an active runway into the path of a Delta jet that was landing. Air traffic controllers waved it off, but the planes came within 100 feet of colliding. Aviation expert Terry Tripler says such accidents are almost inevitable.
We've got so many aircraft on the ground, so much activity at the airport, so many airlines are adding flights over and over, particularly smaller aircraft, and they take just as much time. This is bound to happen.
A government investigator accuses the FAA of covering up mistakes by controllers at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport and sometimes trying to shift the blame to pilots. The FAA insists all errors are reported correctly. The price of oil slipped 6 cents to $72.50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
What's on your summer travel wish list? The beach? Your mom's? Someplace you've never been? Well, Econolodge and Roadway Inn Hotels are giving you a free $50 gas card this summer to go anywhere your heart desires. With our Easy Choice Rewards program, just redeem 6 stamps for your free $50 gas card. After all, your wish list awaits. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com today. We'll see you there.
Earn 1 stamp per night. Maximum 5 stamps for qualifying stay. Redeem 6 stamps between 6-1 and 8-16 of 7 to receive gas card. For details, visit easychoiceonline.com.
Taking care of business.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Some neighborhoods are plagued by deer. Bears and coyotes have become more common, but this is something else again. Steve Roberts of Toronto Station CFRB has the story.
Police in the town of Newmarket, north of Toronto, didn't quite know what to make of this 911 call.
Police communications, Elliot.
We've found an elephant walking down the street near the community center.
It came after two grown elephants wandered away from a nearby circus after someone accidentally disabled the electronic fence around their pen. Police jumped into action.
A set of standing elephants on Crossland Gate. It's just eating somebody's tree.
The elephants, Susie and Bunny, were reunited with their trainer and taken back to their pen quietly. Steve Roberts for CBS News, Toronto.
Getting ready to host the Olympic Games next year, China says it's implemented a new system to monitor food safety. The latest embarrassment is a report that a street vendor was using shredded cardboard in his steamed buns. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The new Die Hard Platinum presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, we're the new Die Hard Platinum Battery. My name is Positive. Negative, introduce yourself.
What's the point?
Well, so we can tell people that we have 40% more reserve capacity.
Yeah, and our Evolution technology can power all sorts of gadgets for your car.
Well, I think it's something to be proud of.
Yes, you're beaming, and it's giving me a migraine.
The new Die Hard Platinum Battery with Evolution technology. Available at Sears and Sears.com/platinum. More starting power, more reserve power. Die Hard. Comparison made with Spiral AGM batteries.
Taking care of business.
Do you have a big presentation coming up? Need great-looking documents done right and on time? The Office Depot Design Print and Ship Depot will take care of it. Only at Office Depot will you find Xerox certified print specialists to make sure your job is done right, guaranteed. Stop by an Office Depot store or visit us online 24/7 to request professionally prepared documents. Xerox certified print specialists, only at Office Depot, where we guarantee your documents are done right.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Our free speech zone on the way later this hour. You can call in and talk with us any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And we pay for the call. It's toll free 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. The nation of Pakistan has been roiled by unrest, culminating this week in a showdown at the Red Mosque in Islamabad. And as many as 80 or perhaps 100 people were killed in the assault on the mosque. And this has been the scene of some provocative behavior over the last few months. And in addition to that showdown, President Pervez Musharraf, who has promised to step down as chief of the army, but seems to be trying to wiggle out of that in order to hold on just as president, he is under attack from many fronts in his country. And he, of course, tried to fire the Supreme Court justice in an effort to extend his term of office. And that has produced demonstrations from people of all walks of life in Pakistan over the last few months. To learn more and get some informed commentary, we turn to Kamran Asdar Ali, Associate Professor of Anthropology, Middle East Studies, and Asian Studies at the University of Texas in Austin. And he's an editor of the Middle East Report, which is available at merip.org. Kamran Ali, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, Professor. And let's talk first about this incident in Islamabad. There was about a 36-hour major showdown, but this has been building for weeks, and the brothers who were preaching at this mosque Maulana Abdulaziz and Abdul Rashid Ghazi had been using this to push their ideas about a theocracy in Pakistan. How much of a real challenge is this to the Musharraf government, in your view?
Well, as you put it, absolutely correctly, that this the brothers have been in this mosque complex there since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And another dictator, Ziaul Haq, was the person who had granted them, it's a land grant kind of a seminary, in a city which is highly protected by security services. And in the midst of this city, these brothers and their seminary had accumulated small arms and other kinds of weaponry. So this was happening under the nose of the Pakistani state, almost a few kilometers from the seat of power. And as you suggested, from early part of this year, they had become much more aggressive in pushing an agenda of arguing, in a way, sort of taking on the state and saying that there should be theocracy or the Sharia should be implemented, kidnapping women or accusing them of running brothels or going and destroying video and TV and DVDs in shops and burning them in piles, saying that this spreads immoral behavior amongst our youth. And so this kind of thing, eventually they had gone and also occupied a Chinese-run acupuncture clinic and arguing that this is a massage parlor and this is, over here certain illicit activities are going on. So they were pushing and challenging the writ of the state. Why the state tolerated it up to now, and why at this particular juncture they sort of made it into such, an issue of confrontation, is an open question in Pakistani politics. Mm-hmm. Right now there's a lot of cynicism about there is a lot of support about going against this challenge to the state, but there's also cynicism at the timing of this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of speculating here, and I'll acknowledge that this is a shot in the dark, but right before this, there were reports of yet another attempt to assassinate Musharraf. Do you think that hardened his position and caused him to give the authorization to go ahead and take the mosque?
I think it happened on the first day when the Pakistani security services, first or second day of the Pakistan, when the Pakistani security services started to cordon off the mosque complex, that there were allegations that some kind of fire, small arm or otherwise, was made on a flight that the President Musharraf or the General Musharraf was on. That has not been confirmed whether they were linked. One wonders, in Pakistan, how a series of things happen to sort of strengthen a certain position or a certain argument that the regime is making. So one cannot always trust the information that is coming out, but that was played up in the media. Yes.
Yeah. And I have heard other commentators question why Musharraf allowed this to go on so long.
Absolutely.
Is another distraction his attempt to sack the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in his effort to remain in office, and his somewhat tolerance of the public protests about that?
No, precisely. I mean, that is what I was referring to when I said there's a lot of cynicism about the timing. I mean, it's not only that the Musharraf is that his popularity amongst the larger civil society in Pakistan is at all-time low, especially after the fiasco of the Supreme Court justice. The other political parties at precisely this moment in the last 4 or 5 days have been meeting, in all the leadership of different religious and secular parties have been meeting to think about future line of action. But also you have to realize that in the United States, although the Bush government has been very supportive and has been sending its officials to show that support, the Democratic Party, the Democrats, especially Senator Biden, had a very forceful statement against Musharraf. New York Times and other Los Angeles Times and other national newspapers in the United States have come out with editorial. New York Times came out with two editorials. So there is a sort of a sentiment in which that the Musharraf regime feels, attacked from various sides. And one of the things that the people are arguing is that precisely at this moment, to show his colors, to show that he still a good bet against the war on terror, against Islamists or jihadis, that this was done to sort of placate his critics in domestically, which make up the sort of the secular, liberal, moderate Muslims who live in Pakistan, mm-hmm. and even internationally in Europe and the United States.
And Professor, to what extent is Musharraf's position complicated as it is already? How much is it further complicated by his alliance with the United States, since we know that the al-Qaeda leaders, Osama and al-Zawahiri, are probably hiding out in caves on the Afghan-Pakistani border? We can't be sure exactly where they are, but it appears that they're able to traipse back and forth in that mountainous region, and at least some of their time is spent in Pakistan.
Yes, I mean, allegations have a lot of truth in them, and actually the increased cross-border incursions into Afghanistan and using Pakistani space as a safe haven by the recently more militant Taliban or Afghan nationalist or anti-NATO forces, however it's I'm seeing a potpourri of people who are doing this, it's not all sort of one, but they have used Pakistani space, and the Pakistani state and regime, at least a faction of it, has tolerated it. So I think Musharraf is in a tight spot. At one level he has to, you know, give this impression of a moderate leader of a moderate Muslim country, but at the same time he or at least part of his state apparatus has if not overtly, but you know, in some implicit way, supported or turned a blind eye towards these the more militant militant actors in Islamist politics. Now one has to realize that whether it's the Pakistani regime or these Islamists, the argument has, I mean, the anti-Westernism is of course there, and it's basically a moral argument, you know, and the kind of ways that Sharia, even when Taliban was in power in Afghanistan, the issue was around, you know, how women's bodies should be covered, or who can play soccer, or, you know, what can be done, who can go to, you know. Mm-hmm. But nobody argues for whether there should be social justice, whether there should be a distribution of wealth, whether the health indices should increase, whether it should be universal education, the strengthening of the public education system. You know, those kinds of things, neither the military regime or the Islamists talk about. It's all about these kind of moralistic kind of arguments that have continued to play in this exchange.
And Professor, what price will Musharraf pay for this attack on the Red Mosque? After all, Zawahiri has issued a kind of a fatwa saying that he's encouraging jihad against the government of Pakistan, explicitly in response to this attack on the Red Mosque.
You know, I mean, that's of course speculative, and it's unfortunate, I mean, that the Red Mosque had to also come to this kind of violence, and death, you know, death and destruction is never something that we should condone of any part, but of any people whom we like or dislike. So, I mean, one wonders if negotiation could have worked. The Pakistani military, I mean, I don't know. That's, of course, an open question, that how much the militancy would increase and what kinds of ways in which Pakistan will be destabilized through either suicide bombers or other kinds of incidents of this kind. Of course, Pakistan has paid a price always. Since the 1980s, the Pakistani society has played a price in entangling itself in this kind of politics. If you may remember, and your listeners would, that in 1980, when Pakistan became a frontline state in the war in Afghanistan against the occupation by Soviet Union, Pakistani society paid a huge price in terms of the increase of level of violence, the bombs, but also in terms of the infiltration of drugs and heroin, especially into Pakistani society. So the history of the proliferation of all kinds of militancy and the proliferation of small arms in Pakistani society and the drugs and other kinds of criminal activities organized around political parties otherwise has increased periodically since the 1980s, when Pakistan sort of played played the partnership role with the United States and mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia and others.
Right.
And so Pakistani society may play a very heavy toll in this time round too. Now the Pakistani army, of course, is the largest group of individuals. I mean, it's a huge army mm-hmm. with a lot of potential, and they may be able to crush it with power, but you know, it is a matter of will, and it's a matter of also their own internal cohesion, because who knows, I mean, there are always kept speculation that the army is not also homogenous.
Right.
And the state is not homogenous. There are different factions that are vying for different positions.
And, Professor, we'll return in just a moment, talk further with you. Cameron Asdar Ali, an associate professor of anthropology, Middle East studies, and Asian studies at the University of Texas in Austin. If you have a question or a comment about the situation in Pakistan, this is the perfect time for it. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Well, it is that time, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, let's take a look at the latest. We're starting off with Greenfield Thorn Road at Peach Road. Vehicle went up to actually went up the embankment on the shoulder. If you're in Live Oak right now, Soquel Avenue at 7th, injury crash reports of a head-on collision. The left lane of both directions are blocked. We have paramedics, fire department, and emergency crews on scene there. Hollister, Fairview Drive at Churchill. Vehicles have been cleared from lanes there. There was an earlier crash. Aptos, it's southbound 1 after Soquel Drive. Watch out for a vehicle on fire. It's actually in the center divide. And Highway 1 northbound before Mundrus, that is in the Monterey, we do have a four-car crash being reported there. Your great Las Vegas getaway begins by visiting Luxor.com. Unforgettable days, exciting nights. It all starts by visiting Luxor.com, your website for exclusive offers to the Pyramid.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes past the hour. We're talking about the turbulent situation in Pakistan. with Professor Cameron Asdar Ali, Associate Professor of Anthropology at the University of Texas. He also teaches Middle East Studies and Asian Studies. And Professor, next I wanted to ask you about the curious situation related to A.Q. Khan, or Han, I think his name would be pronounced in the vernacular. He, of course, is touted as the father of the Pakistani nuclear weapon, and he also is clearly one of the most effective proliferators of nuclear plans, technology, and in some cases the hardware and even the fuel to nations that are considered rogues by the United States, anyway. And he was placed on a kind of house arrest about a year and a half ago. And the U.S. has claimed that it is unable to access him and has honored the wishes of the Musharraf government by not trying to force him to tell us what he knows about what proliferation has occurred. And I think it was Robert Scheer in his syndicated column this week pointed out that the Associated Press has gotten several interviews with Dr. Khan, but the United States says that they can't get through to him. And I find this very curious, because if we're really concerned about preventing a dirty nuke or another type of nuclear weapon falling into the hands of terrorists or rogue governments, isn't Khan the place we ought to start, the guy we ought to start with?
Well, I mean, this is the contradiction, the relationship between the Pakistani state and military and the United States. Of course, these are all pragmatic decisions. I mean, how could... Of course, A.Q. Khan is touted as the father of the Pakistani atomic bomb, but then, of course, there were allegations that he, as an independent operator, or with the complete knowledge of the Pakistani state, at least with the complete... Because the nuclear program is very much under the army, had had sold certain kinds of... knowledge about production of nuclear arms and armament to at least Iran and the Libyans. Actually, the Libyans informed the United States about this in their own deal when they cut it with Gaddafi's rehabilitation.
Right.
So and Korea was involved and all that kind of stuff. So the argument that the Pakistani army and the Pakistani army top brass had no knowledge of this was, of course, you know, was something that they said, okay, you know, he's a rogue person and we have put him in house arrest and he's not in charge of the nuclear facilities, or actually he had his own laboratory under his own name. He was sort of semi-independent. But, of course, the idea of Pakistani defense and the idea of these highly advanced nuclear technology not being under the control of the Pakistani army or the Pakistani state is ludicrous. And so it's basically the idea, the argument was that, you know, the Musharraf regime was told that, you know, you sideline this person and we will continue, because Musharraf regime and Musharraf government right now is important in our own, in the United States' own, war against terror in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, you know, unfortunately, real politic kind of decisions that one has made. Of course, that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how available he is to the world media, but there were recent reports that even his house arrest has been, quote-unquote, reduced in its intensity, which means basically that people must have seen him around walking and then they had to come up with a argument, oh, yes, we've just recently, you know, made it easier for him to move around because there was no house arrest, in my mind.
And, Professor, you've been very kind to answer my questions. With somebody like you who is more in touch with a situation like Pakistan, I got about a minute remaining. What else should our listeners be aware of that's going on there and that could create problems for the U.S.-Pakistan relationship?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I would say definitely is that Pakistan needs to have a fair and free election and a democratic government has to come. Unfortunately, history of Pakistan has been that whenever there has been a military government, and always, whether it was in 1958, whether it was 77, or whether in the 1993 military dictators came, all three have been supported for certain reasons or due to world politics. In the 60s, it was the Cold War. In the 80s, it was Afghanistan, and now it's the war on terror by the United States. And no military dictator has gone away without doing some harm to the country. The first, it was the creation of Bangladesh. The second time, the whole top brass was, along with the American ambassador in 1988, blown up in an airplane bomb explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person is entrenched, but the idea is that there has to be pressure to... Because that is the only way that long-term peace and a certain kind of a regional stability will come when we can deal with a democratically elected government and on the terms of the Pakistani people themselves, that a real long-term, not these quick fixes, a peace and stability will come to the region.
Gotcha.
And I think that is very important for the people in the United States to understand that we have to bring...
Cameron Asdar Ali, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty News shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Bye. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 33 minutes after the hour. My phone lines are open to hear from you. We call it the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Could it be any easier? Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We've got a lot to talk about. Harriet Meyer's no-show. Sarah Taylor's limited hangout. I can't answer that question unless it favors the president, Senator.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And today the road to hell appears to lead right through the United States Senate. I just learned during the break of an ugly episode of, how can I put it, out-of-control Christians in the capital of the United States. Earlier today, it was supposed to be an historic first for religion. For the very first time, a Hindu was invited to deliver the morning invocation in the Senate chamber here in the United States Capitol. But it was disrupted by three Christian right activists. The three protesters belonged to the Christian right anti-abortion group Operation Save America. They traveled to Washington all the way from North Carolina, and they interrupted by loudly asking for God's forgiveness for allowing the false prayer of a Hindu in the Senate chamber. And this is really gross. I mean, this is un-American. And frankly, I would call it unchristian. Let's listen to the events as they unfolded on the Senate floor today.
Today's opening prayer will be offered by a guest chaplain, Mr. Rajan Zed of the Indian Association of Northern Nevada.
Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father, for allowing the prayer of the wicked, which is an abomination.
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the Senate.
So that's Senator Casey from Pennsylvania, and he introduced this Hindu gentleman, and even before he could speak, the Christo-fascists, and I don't think that's an improper term here, interrupted him. And then Casey asked the sergeant at arms to restore order.
We shall have no other gods before you. You are the one.
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the chamber.
Let us pray. We meditate on the transcendental glory of that.
And in the background, a female voice is rudely reciting a Christian prayer as this Hindu guest chaplain tries to deliver his invocation.
Deity Supreme. Who?
The sergeant at arms will restore order in the Senate, in the chamber.
Let us pray. We meditate on the transcendental glory of the Deity Supreme, who is inside the heart of the earth, inside the life of the sky, and inside the soul of the heaven. May He stimulate and illuminate our minds. Lead us from the unreal to the real, from darkness to light.
So that's how it occurred in the United States Senate today. A low point for religious intolerance fomented by conservative Christians. Fundamentalists, I would guess. And I think that we owe this gentleman an apology. And I would like to hear from you today if you are a believer. We've had some episodes on the program recently featuring people who are atheists, non-theists, non-believers. And so I open up my phones here, and if you are a believer and you're offended by this, I'd like to hear you step forward and offer your own apology. And if you care to offer a prayer asking for forgiveness, you can do that. But I think that this Hindu chaplain was treated with great disrespect. And I also believe that this episode of intolerance is something that is unchristian and it would never be condoned by Jesus Christ. Let's take a call right now. Susan's on the line from Santa Cruz. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us. Hello, Susan. You're on the
air. Hi. It's funny. I didn't know you were doing that because I'm on the computer.
Yeah.
And I called in because I don't know if you know about the site called Fire the Grid.
Fire the Grid?
Fire the Grid, yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, this woman had quite an experience. She was, I think she was an atheist, and she had a death experience. I won't call it near death because she pretty much died, and so did her son, and they both came back. And anyway, her experience caused her to really start looking at things differently. And she has called for this worldwide prayer. So that's what I'm putting out today. Next Tuesday, at Greenwich Mean Time, it'll be 11 a.m. Here it'll be 4:11 a.m. And she's asking for 1 hour of prayer, you know, for peace for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be going all around the world. This thing has been widely spread through the net. So I imagine a lot of people will be taking part in it.
Okay. And is there a website you want to direct people
to?
Yeah,
firethegrid.com.
Firethegrid.com.
Yeah, F-I-R-E-T-H-E-G-R-I-D .com. And it's a really interesting site. It's worthwhile taking a good look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing her story, which is quite amazing.
All right. I appreciate that. And Susan,
right.
What's your comment about this Hindu gentleman who was heckled and interrupted rudely?
If I had been there, I would have stopped it. I mean, that's, I just, those kinds of things really, really irk me.
Yeah.
And I would definitely have put a stop to it if I were in any position of authority.
And one of the things, I'm not aiming this at any particular individual,
mm-hmm.
but I find it offensive that in this country we have a kind of a chorus that surfaces
mm-hmm.
when an Islamic individual does something wrong, extreme, or, you know, tries to kill somebody. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm, right. But
and,
if he's doing
and we always demand that moderate Muslims speak
uh-huh.
out and denounce that activity.
Right.
And I want to hear some moderate Christians call this program and denounce
yep.
this extreme behavior by Christians.
Yes.
Because if you don't, your silence is assent to their rude and unchristian behavior.
Yeah, but you can't ask people. You can't demand of people to do what they can't do. You know what I mean? If it's not in their heart, they won't do it.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Now to Paula in Oregon. Hello, Paula. What town are you calling from?
I'm calling from Coos Bay.
Great. Good to have you on the phone today. What's on your mind?
Well, this is kind of the Bible Belt of Oregon.
Is it?
And I am a Christian, and, you know, lately I'm very embarrassed to be a Christian. I almost don't even want to tell people I am because of the way so many Christians have acted. They treat gay people with total hatred and do awful things to them. They disrupt the Senate with this absolute ridiculous protest because this Hindu person is going to deliver a beautiful prayer. You know, everybody keeps forget there's only one God. You know, and I'm not so sure that he's picked anybody to be the very best down here. And I sure don't think it's Christians who act like that.
Well, I'm not sure about God. I'm not sure about a lot of the things that religion has told us. But I do embrace the philosophy offered by Jesus Christ. And I believe that he said that, you know, one should turn the other cheek, that one should be tolerant, and that you should love one another as, you know, love your neighbor as you would like to be loved. And I think that those are very simple, powerful, fundamental messages that can support religious belief, but also can support just what I consider to be wholesome, loving behavior on the part of human beings. And so
well, that was the whole point.
Yeah, and
point
so
is love
I
and all of them, and they're so worried about what somebody else is doing, they forget to love them, and that's good grief, send love to this Hindu man and see him pictured in whatever you believe in if you have to, but don't disrupt the Senate. For heaven's sake, the disruption the Senate needs is to get the troops home. And I'm not giving any more political money to anybody until those troops start coming home.
And Paula, if there's a God, wouldn't God want the Senate to do just what you said, to focus on ending our grisly, killing occupation of Iraq? And that's certainly more important than who delivers an invocation, a non-denominational invocation in the United States Senate?
Absolutely. You know, when I saw my husband off to the Vietnam War, I swore that would be the last one. And now I'm seeing my son's friends off, and I don't like it a bit. At least wise, not so that out of that $100 billion, 70% of that goes to private contractors, while our poor boys are living on measly amounts of money, and their wives and children are on welfare and or food stamps. The whole thing is stupid, just so Halliburton and Bush and his friends can have more money.
Well,
or because he's got a religious jihad against Islam, which is ridiculous.
Paula, you are dangerous. You're extremely well-informed, and you're opinionated, too. I love the combination.
Well, thank you so much.
Great to have you calling today. I appreciate that. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Here's another item for you may want to comment on. Dave is one of our stalwart listeners and callers in Eureka, California, and he dropped me an email from the John Edwards presidential campaign website. And it reads, "Dear Peter, I'm demanding that John Edwards visit our neighborhood, and I need your help. John Edwards has promised to visit the location that demands him the most and answer 10 questions from the people making the demands. Help bring Senator Edwards to our hood and demand him here." And so let's see what happens when I click on Demand John Edwards on Eventful.com. Now I'm going to another web page. It's Eventful.com. And it appears that when the page loads, I'll be able to make a demand. A demand? I demand that Senator Edwards come to my town? That's kind of interesting. Okay, so you have to enter a zip code, city or state. I'm going to support Dave and put Eureka, California. And then I press go. Let's see what happens here. Just a sec, it reads, "We're checking everything." How nice. All right, while that's loading, let's jump to Debbie in Coos Bay. Debbie, you're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. It's great to talk to you. I was the one that talked to you about doing some web work. But anyway, I'm a Christian that is thoroughly offended by what happened. I'm with you. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. And that's what Jesus taught us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the war is wrong. The thought of, living here in Coos Bay, there's a lot of veterans. And I have an 18-year-old son, and I would say things like, you know, God, I hope he doesn't get, you know, taken to war. I mean, that's my worst fear. It's against everything I believe in.
Gotta be.
And people here look at you like you're crazy, like you're anti-American. And as a Christian, I'm embarrassed. I'm truly ashamed. I believe our country was founded on the idea that, you know, we should have freedom of religion. Believe whatever you want.
And how can we rein in these radicals who abuse religion? I mean, this is the same thing that Osama bin Laden does.
Nope.
He takes a fine religion, Islam,
exactly.
and takes it to its extreme fundamentalist worst.
Well, I can tell you Janine Garofalo is not doing that a favor, that commercial she does, saying I'm proud to be an atheist, because there are plenty of us that are not atheists, that are Christians, that believe the same way she does. So I think they've kind of screwed us right there.
That's interesting. All right, Debbie, well, thanks for your call today. I really appreciate it, and nice to hear your point of view. 888-5 Peter B. More of your calls coming up after a quick break, and then we'll return here on the Peter B. Collins Show, coming to you from San Francisco. You want to find out more? Go to my website, peterbcollins.com. You can access our archive programs and catch the live stream weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Tom Hartman.
Why would we hand the beating heart of democracy, the vote, over to a private corporation?
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're giving it to a corporation called Diebold, whose former president, Wally O'Dell, says, you know, I'm going to give Ohio to George W. Bush. We're giving it to a corporation like ES&S, who used to be run by Chuck Hagel, the Republican senator from Nebraska. I mean, it's our vote!
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
And there we go, folks. We're taking a look at a problem right now. It is in northbound 17, just for the cats. It was a crash there. It's been cleared up. That's the good news. Traffic recovering, however. Carmel Highway 1 at Carpenter Street, accident there. It's two vehicles in the second lane from the left. Monterey northbound 1 before Del Monte Boulevard. A two-vehicle crash in the right shoulder. Minor injuries.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues 9 minutes in front of the hour. We're taking your calls here. And Theodora from Santa Cruz, you're absolutely next. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Peter B., and I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah,
I'm glad you broke
your
through.
Show, but I will not thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you've
yes,
learned.
I'm like you in that way.
I love it.
Yes. I wanted to share my favorite quote from Gandhi, and it's a bumper sticker I carry on my car. And it says, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians.
Mm.
They are so unlike your Christ. And I think that says it all. I mean, the ones that are know they are, and the ones that aren't are trying to convince the rest of us that they are. And that's how they do it. But if anybody's going to disrupt Congress, I want it to be Code Pink, not Code Cross, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also had called in earlier because you said World News Report was on at 6:30.
Oh, yeah, on ABC.
My schedule showed it on at 5:30.
Yeah, so. It's on different in different markets, so
okay.
I apologize
one
for that.
One in Santa Cruz is 5:30, so it's probably too late for folks. But
well, but they can catch it. What we're talking about, Joshua Kors has a report that'll also be on Nightline late night tonight. And it is about the treatment of wounded Iraq veterans who get down their injuries get either downgraded or blamed on something other than the war in order to escape paying them the benefits and giving them the resources that they need when they come home. It's a really sad story and one that people should know about.
And perhaps we should know that the people coming up with that policy are probably Christians.
Some of them probably are.
Probably are.
Thanks, Theodora.
And thank you.
Okay, my pleasure. Susan in Monterey, you're next. Welcome.
Hi, Peter B. I'm driving my car, trying not to wreck it. Anyway, I always listen to your show after work, and I really, really like it, and want to thank you for, you know, just putting on a great show. Regarding the people who interrupted the prayer session,
yeah.
I am Christian. I raised my daughter in Christian schools, and I would like to say that those people who interrupted the session are very unchristian. They're poorly brought up. They're bad mannered. And they're very un-American, and they're also extremely ignorant. And I can't apologize for them because I certainly didn't make them that way. But I can apologize to the Indian gentleman for our Senate. If the Senate didn't apologize, they should have had the manners to not only kick those people out, but also apologize to the gentleman giving the prayer. It was a very lovely prayer, and religious intolerance is not part of what our Founders, our Constitution, anything else. It's not American.
Well, I really like the way you said that, Susan, and I think you nailed it.
Thank you.
Okay, great to hear from you today. Appreciate the call. Now to Chuck in Plano, Texas. Welcome, Chuck. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter. I enjoy your show. I've followed you from the time you were on in Phoenix, and when you left there, found you on the Internet and enjoy listening to you every night.
Well, Chuck, I'm glad you go to the trouble to do that. I really appreciate it.
Listen, I wanted to just sort of give you a little life experience. I'm a 67-year-old retiree that had the fortune of having a 32-year career in a major corporation, was able to retire with a little money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it's going to last. Served in the military in the 60s or 50s and 60s, and so I have a little feeling for the military. And a lot of life experiences in that, and this one thing on religion just makes me nuts. We lived for a little while in a small town in Indiana, and I took interest in going to town council meetings, and it was the protocol there that they would begin the meeting with a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that the area that I lived in was right in the middle of the Bible Belt, and the prayers were
What town in Indiana? I know the state.
Right outside of Bloomington.
Yeah.
IU.
Yeah.
And the prayers were very evangelical influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the person that was delegated to make the prayer was a ordained minister, so it was tweaked even more to his denomination. And I knew that I was in the minority there and wasn't going to make a stink. You know, you learn to pick your battles.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And so that experience plus the experience in my church, which at one time has served on the town council, and we had an outreach program to go out and try to find families that had no connection to invite them in to see if they wanted to participate. And they call that looking for the unchurched.
Yeah.
Well, after my experiences and all of this unchristian-like behavior that's been going on in this country for the last years, I have developed a new category which I have joined, which is called the D Church. and I know I haven't been to a church religious service in probably 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And I figure I will take care of my religious needs myself and my family. And if I were ever called on to make a invocation or a prayer at a public meeting, I would handle it in such a way that say, will everyone bow their head and for the next minute pray to your God in your own way and be done with it. I wouldn't try to influence my beliefs on anyone else.
Very well put. Chuck, thanks for your call today.
Okay, and have a good night.
I'm glad to have you listening online. Now to Bill in Big Sur, California. How's it along the coast there today, Bill? Bill, are you there? Oh, we lost him. All right, Jake's on the line from Arcata. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Not bad.
Hey, just real quick, I'd like to let all the listeners know that the most watched movie amongst the 9/11 truth movement, Loose Change, is going to be hitting the theaters the first week of September. So I would encourage everybody to call your local movie theaters and ask that they show the movie Loose Change. You can watch it for free online at loosechange911.com.
All right, that's good news. And the first week of September on the big screen.
That's right. It's going to hit the theaters around the country. Hopefully a theater near you, Peter.
And is this an updated edition?
Right, it's going to be the third and final edition, and Charlie Sheen will be doing the narration on Loose Change this time.
All right. Well, I'll make a point to look for that in early September. Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. Well, thank you for all your calls today. It's been a great show, and it's all your fault. We'll be back, Ask You tomorrow, same time, same stations. And next week, I'll be on vacation. Brad Friedman will be sitting in for me.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
The Peter B. Collins Show originates from San Francisco. Our producer is Katrina Rill. Brian Urban on the phones today. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
One can only look at what's happening on the floor of the House and describe it as a partisan political stunt, because that's exactly what it is.
House Republican leader John Boehner blasting the Democrats for their latest attempt to end the war in Iraq. Late today, the House voted 223 to 201 to get U.S. combat troops out of Iraq by next April.
After 5 years of a failed policy in Iraq, we have a duty not just to voice our opposition, but to vote to end the war.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the margin of the vote is not enough to override a veto by President Bush, who said again today that he's not ready to change course, despite a report that the Iraqi government has made little progress and the security situation remains extremely challenging. Mr. Bush spoke at a news conference. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer reports.
The president usually brushes aside questions about polls, but he acknowledges growing public dissatisfaction with his Iraq policy.
There's war fatigue in America.
Fatigue that Mr. Bush says affects the national psychology. He was asked about leading an unpopular war.
I guess I'm like any other, you know, political figure. Everybody wants to be loved. Just sometimes the decisions you make and the consequences don't enable you to be loved.
Mr. Bush repeatedly insisted he is sticking with the current war policy. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Al-Qaeda is in good shape, and that's not good.
I'm Dan Revive in Washington. The new national intelligence estimate for the White House reportedly will say Al-Qaeda is stepping up efforts to smuggle operatives into the U.S. And senior CIA analyst Thomas Finger told a House committee this week,
"We are very concerned about the capability of terrorist groups to use Europe as a venue and a launching point for terrorists, bringing terrorists into the United States."
He said the CIA is working closely with British authorities to stem that threat.
Huge gains in the market today. The Dow jumped 283 points to a record close, 13,861. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says 14,000 might not be far off.
If earnings continue to come in strong and we have inflation staying at bay and interest rates, another strong part of the component here, remaining stable, there's no reason why this rally cannot continue.
President Bush's nominee for Surgeon General had his confirmation hearing today, and Dr. James Holsinger distanced himself from a paper.